Okay, we have now made it to Megillah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the very last Amud of Maseches Megillah. The last Amud of Maseches Megillah is going to talk about the proper procedure for getting an Aliyah, the procedure for Hagba and for Galila, and a number of other interesting topics. We left off at Tan Rabbanan on the top line of the page, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph Tan Rabbanan. We learned in a Brisa, Poseach Veroa. When a person gets an Aliyah, he should open up the Torah, look inside the Torah, see the inside of the Torah, exactly where the pasuk is that they're going to start the kriya from. Golel umevarich. Then he should roll the Torah back closed and say the bracha. V'chazer uposeach v'kari. Then he should reopen the Torah again when it's time to read from the Torah after he finishes the bracha. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer posech v'roa umevarich v'kari. Rabbi Yehuda says no need to close it up while you say the bracha. Open it up, see where you're going to read from, say the bracha while it's open, and then just go straight into reading. There's no need to close it up. So my time is Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir think you do have to close it up when you say the bracha? Kidu'ula, because he assumes like Ula's opinion. The Amar Ula, what did Ula say? Ula said, Mipnei ma amru, hakari b'torah lo yisayeh l'maturgaman. Why do we say that someone who reads from the Torah shouldn't help out the maturgaman? Remember, the maturgaman is the translator, and whenever they used to read from the Torah, they would have someone translate pasuk by pasuk. So why did they say that the person who's doing kriyas haTorah should not help out the translator? Kedei shelo yomru targum kasuv haTorah. Because if the guy who's reading from the Torah is helping in the translation, then people are going to think that the translation is also written in the Torah. So hachanami, we have the same concern over here with the brachos. We don't want the person who's getting an aliyah to say the brachos while the Torah is open. Kedei shelo yomru brachos ksuvim b'Torah, because people are going to think that the brachos are also written in the Torah. So says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond to that? That seems like a pretty strong argument that people are going to think that the brachos are written in the Torah. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think you're allowed to leave the Torah open while you're saying the bracha for your aliyah? So Rabbi Yehuda would say, Targum ikalimiti, brachos lekalimiti. It's more likely that people are going to make the mistake and think that Targum, that the translation, is written in the Torah. Not so likely that people are going to be so off that they're going to think the brachos are written in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rav Masna, halacha, poseach v'ra'a u'mevarech v'karei. The halacha is you do not have to close the Torah. You could open up the Torah, see where the laning is, say the bracha, and just go straight into reading. Ay, v'leima halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Why don't you just say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning what you just said to do is exactly Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, so why do you have to say it all out? Just say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Mishum da'afchiluhu, because some people have the opinion switched around. The opinion of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda switched around, so we want to be as clear and explicit as possible exactly who we are really paskening like. So main point number one, the machlokas about the procedure for an aliyah, whether we keep the Torah open while reciting the bracha. Or maybe not, because we're concerned people will think the brachas are written in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rav Masna. So now we go on to other things Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rav Masna said. Haluchos v'abimos ein be mishum kedusha. The luchos, it's not so clear what these luchos that we're referring to are. It's certainly not referring to the luchos as we know them, but it's something, some boards that would support the Torah. V'abimos and the platforms in the shul, for people to stand on during Kriyas HaTorah. All of that. Ein ben mishum kedusha. There's no kedusha to those items. Amar Rav Shvati, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we go on to discuss how to do Hagba and Galila. So Rav Shvati, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Hagolel Sefer Torah, if someone rolls the Sefer Torah, Tzorich Shemiden al Tfar, he has to make sure that it's on the seam, that the seam should be right in between the two sides, the two scrolls of the Torah. You have the two sides, you want the seam to be right in the middle. Amar Rav Shvati, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hagolel Sefer Torah, when you roll the Sefer Torah, you should roll it from the outer and not from and roll it further away from you and not from the inner, where you're bringing it close from the one that's closer to you. Ukshu mahatko, and when you tighten the Torah, mahatko mi b'fnim, v'ena mahatko mi b'chutz. You should tighten it from the inner roll, the one that's closer to you, not from the outer one, the one that's further away from you. So this is about when they're trying to change where they are in the Sefer Torah, change the spot in the Sefer Torah, and you have two people rolling, so you have one guy holding on to the to the Eitz Chaim on one side, and the other one who's actually doing all of the rolling. So it's describing exactly how to do that rolling. If 10 people read from the Torah, Hagadol Shabem Golol Sefer Torah. The greatest amongst them should be the one who has the covet of doing the Galila. Hagolo notel schar kulan. The one who does Galila gets the schar of everybody else. Tam Rabbi Shoben Levi, Asar Shakar B'Torah. Rabbi Shoben Levi said that if 10 people read from the Torah, Hagolo Sefer Torah, Kibel schar kulan. The one who rolls it, he's the one that gets the schar of everybody put together. So it's a very great zuchus to do Galila. People often think that Galila is like for the kids. It's not such a great zuchus to do Galila. It's a very great zuchus to do Galila. Although the poskim do point out that the Galila they're talking about is probably what we would call Hagva, and that Galila is actually can be done by a child. And I think Mishmur even says that since Galila can be done for a child, it's a really wonderful thing to have children do it, because it's a great way to train children and becoming excited about participating in the shul and doing mitzvos. So says Mar, but wait a second, the guy who does Hagba or Galila, whatever you want to call it, gets the schar of everybody. Schar kulan salgadaydach, so no one else gets any schar, he robs them of all their schar. Nah, ele'im akibel schar kineged kulan. What it means is, he gets as much schar as all of the rest of them, but not that he takes away their schar. So main point number two, the procedure for Galila is outlined, and the person who gets Galila gets as much schar as everybody else put together. The person who gets Galila, who is the greatest of all the people, gets as much schar as everybody else put together. The Amar of Shvati Amar Biyachon, Shvati Amar Biyachon also says, Minayin Shem Shtamshin Bevaskol. Baskol is an important concept. It's when you have a heavenly voice. A voice comes from Shemayim. We already had Baskol at the very beginning of this Masechta on Daf Gimel. We were discussing how they wrote down the translation for the Torah and the Nevi'im, and when they wrote the translation for the Nevi'im, a heavenly voice came out and said, "Who's revealing my secrets?" I said, that was Baskol. How do I know that we use a Baskol? Shenemar, that we should listen to a Baskol? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, "Vaznecha tishmano dover me'acharecha lemar." Your ears will hear something from behind you saying. So that's must be something referring to in the times of the Mashiach, and it must be referring to a Baskol. But that's only if you hear a male voice in a town, the kal itza bedavra, or a female voice out in the field. V'huda amar hin hin. And even if you hear the right kinds of voices, it's only if the voice says yes, yes, v'huda amar lav lav, and the voice says no, no. Meaning it has to be something that the voice is insisting on multiple times, and that way you know that the voice means that it's got to happen, that whatever it's saying has to be true. Why does it have to be a male voice in town, a female voice out in the field? Because those are uncommon. Usually the women are the ones that are doing all the talking in town, and the women don't go out to work in the fields, the men do, so you would normally hear men's voice in the fields, women's voice in town. If you hear the reverse, then it's likely a special message. So V'amar Rav Shvati Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shvati Amar Rabbi Yochanan also says, we should count up how many different statements do we have from Rav Shvati Amar Rabbi Yochanan. 1, 2, 3, 4, this is the fifth statement of Rav Shvatya Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kalakore Beloni Ima. Anyone who reads without a little bit of a sing-song, without a little pleasant tone to his reading, Vishona Belo Zimra, someone who learns Mishnayos without singing, Alava Kasav Omer Begam Ani Nesati Lem Chukim Lo Tovim. It's as if God has given him laws that are no good, because he doesn't seem to enjoy it so much because he's not singing. So Maska Abaye asks, Mishum Tov Lo Yadu Vesume Kala Mishpatov Lo Yichyu Beim Karisabei. Wait, that pasuk is talking about someone who doesn't know how to sing. What if a guy has a terrible voice, like me? I have a horrendous voice. So because of that, then we're going to say that these are laws that he can't live with? Just because he doesn't have the ability to sing properly, why would he get punished? Elikad Rav Masharshia. No, it must mean what Rav Masharshia says. The Amar, Rav Masharshia said, Shnei Talmid Chum HaYoshem Bi Erachas, that if two Talmid Chum live in the same city, Ve'im Nochen Zez Eba Halacha, and they don't get along with each other about Halacha, Aleim HaKosav Omer, it's about them that the Pasuk says that they're not able to live with the halachas. Main point number three, five statements of Rav Shvatya Amar Rav Yochanan. One about Galila on the seam. Another about Galila from the outer roll. Third one about the Gadol getting Galila. Fourth one about listening to a baskol. And fifth one about learning in a sing song. Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kala ochei sefer Torah arum, nikva arum. Anyone who holds a sefer Torah with his bare hands, without having anything in between his hands and the sefer Torah, is going to be buried without any clothing. So arum salgadayda. What? If you're going to bury a person without any clothing, why would someone get such a terrible punishment just for holding the sefer Torah with his bare hands? Ele'ema nikva arum below mitzvos. Means he's going to be buried without mitzvos. So again, below mitzvos salgadayda, that also seems somewhat harsh to bury him with that he's going to lose all of his mitzvos just for that one thing. No, it means he's going to be buried with naked of that mitzvah, that he's only going to be missing the mitzvah that he was doing while he was holding the Torah, the mitzvah of reading from the Torah. That mitzvah he's not going to get because he decided to hold the Torah, to touch the cloth without anything in between his hands and the cloth. So main point number, whatever we're up to, four, I guess, that one should not hold the Torah with his bare hands. Rabbi Yannai said, in the name of Rabbi Yannai Saba, the old Rabbi Yannai, in the name of the really old Rabbi Yannai Rabba, the original Rabbi Yannai, I guess, mutaf tigolol mitpachas. It's better that the cloth around the Sefer Torah should be rolled around it, valigol Sefer Torah, but the Sefer Torah itself shouldn't be rolled on top of the cloth in order to wrap it up. Meaning, if you got to wrap the Sefer Torah in a cloth, wrap the cloth around the Torah, don't roll over the Torah so that it could be wrapped in the cloth. We want to treat the Torah with utmost respect. Vayedaber Moshe Esmaadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Moshe spoke about the Yom Tovim to the Bnei Yisrael. Mitzvasen shiu koronasan kol echad ve'echad bizmano. So says the Gemara, the mitzvah is to read about each of the Yom Tovim in the right time. Tanu Rabbanan, so we learned in Hebrew. So what does it mean to read about each of them in the right time? Moshe tikei lam the Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana for Klal Yisrael. Shiu sholin v'dorshin b'inyano shel yom, that they should ask about and expound on the issues of the day, of the Yom Tov, Hilchos Pesach, Ba'Pesach, Lishol, and Alachos of Pesach, and Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres, Ba'Atzeres, Lishol, and Alachos of Shavuos, and Shavuos, and Hilchos Chag B'Chag, they should learn about the Alachos of Sukkis, on Sukkis. Last main point of the Masechta, Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana, that we should learn the Alachos of the Yomim Tovim on the various Yomim Tovim. This, of course, is a famous contradiction between this and the Gemara in the first part of Pesachim, where the Gemara seems to say that the din is to learn 30 days before the Yantif, not on the Yantif. So which is it? That's a major discussion in the Rishonim. Not for now. Hadron alach b'nei Yair, uslik ala Maseches Megillah. Mazel tov to all those who are finishing Maseches Megillah.